भगवद्गीता 11.2 भवाप्ययो हि भूतानां श्रुतौ विस्तरशोमया तत्तः कमलपत्राक्ष महात्म्यम् अपि चाव्ययम्। भवाप्ययो हि भूतानां, भव अप्य द क्रिएशन एंड द डिस्ट्रक्शन, भूतानां ऑफ ऑल ऑफ एक्जिस्टेंस ऑफ ऑल लिविंग बीइंग्स, श्रुतौ विस्तरशोमया, आई हैव हर्ड ऑफ इट स्पोकन बाय योर लॉर्ड इन डिटेल, ततः कमलपत्राक्ष एंड यू ओ लोटस आइड वन, महात्म्यम अपि च अव्ययम्। आई हैव अंडरस्टूड, आई हैव ऑल्सो हर्ड अबाउट योर इम्पेरिशेबल ग्लोरीज। हियर these verses are Arjuna's prelude to his request in 11.4 to be shown the Vishwarupa. And in the previous verse he has stated that madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatma sangitam yattvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigato manma. He said, my dear Lord, because of your mercy on me, I have, you know, the words you have spoken mercifully, they have freed me from illusion. And what is the content of those words which has freed him from illusion? He gives a rough hint of that. Here he says, I have understood about the creation and the destruction, appearance and disappearance of all living beings, of all of existence indeed. And so now, there are two main points in this verse, and there's an important contrast that there is the temporary and there is the eternal. And so beyond the temporary, beyond the appearing and disappearing existence, is the glorious eternal existence of the Supreme. And the beauty of that eternal existence is conveyed through the use of the word, very intimate describer of beauty, that is Kamalpatraksha. Now, in the bhakti literature, especially when the bhakti saints are glorifying the Lord and his beauty, the lotus is a favorite metaphor to describe the Lord's beauty. But in the Bhagavad Gita, which is primarily a philosophical discussion on dharma, in such a book, this is practically the only very intimate describer of Krishna's beauty. There are words like Mahayogeshwara, which will come later in this chapter itself. Maha, which talk about his great mystic power. Mahabaho. So those sort of words convey Krishna's greatness. Of course, there are words in which Krishna expresses affection for Arjuna by using words such as Tata, oh dear one. Arjuna also at times uses affectionate forms of address. But an affectionate form of address which invokes the beauty of the Supreme Lord, which refers to and thereby invokes the beauty of the Supreme Lord, in that category there are very, very few names, and this is one of those names. So, Tatta Kamalamatraksha Mahatmyam Api Chavayam. So the imperishable glory of you, O lotus-eyed Lord, that also I have heard. In this world, there is the enduring, in unendurance of things. There is the enduring unendurance. That means that things are temporary and they are permanently temporary. Nothing can make the things eternal. If we have a rundown, if somebody is living in a rundown shack which may collapse at any time, then they will want to shift to some other house which is more secure, or the government will tell, this is a life hazard, you cannot stay here. Then they will shift. So a more sturdy house made of concrete and cement that may seem to offer a more long-term shelter, but even that is temporary. So everything in this world, even if it attracts us, is temporary. And that temporary nature of things can frustrate our longing for love, our longing for security, our longing for happiness. But if we know of the eternal beyond the temporary, and we direct our longing for love, security, happiness towards the eternal, then we can attain lasting happiness. And that, to do that kind of redirection, one needs to understand the ephemeral as ephemeral, and one needs to understand the eternal to be eternal. So that sort of understanding of the difference between the temporary and the eternal, of between the ephemeral and the eternal, that understanding frees one from illusion. Because attachment to the temporary will cause illusion and bondage and suffering. And even aversion to the temporary without any vision, positive vision of the eternal, that will also not lead to much satisfaction. There has to be this combination of detachment from the temporary and attachment to the eternal. And the knowledge about this is what Krishna has given Arjuna. So, bhavapayau hi bhutanam. Whereas Krishna talked about the appearance and disappearance, the creation and destruction of things, he has talked about it in the 8th and the 9th chapters. In the 8th chapter, when he talked about how even Brahma's abode is temporary. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. That was 8.16. And after that, the question may come up. Isn't Brahma supposed to live eternally? Then in 8.17, 18, 19, in 3 verses, Krishna tells about how although Brahma lives for a very long time, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, Aharyad Brahmano Vidho Ratrim Yuga Sahasrantam, Teho Ratri Vidho Janaha. Yes, he lives for a long, long time, but even that long time is not eternal. That is also temporary. That understanding of how that which is normally thought of, conventionally thought of as eternal, that is also temporary. But that helps one understand that, okay, ultimately nothing material is eternal. And of course, before this section started, Krishna has told in 8.15 and again in 8.16 also he says that Mamupetya Punarjanma Dukkhale Mashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Samsiddhim Paramangataha. So Krishna is not just beyond, it's here they discovered that Krishna is eternal. Krishna's abode is eternal. And that is talked about again in 8.20, 21, 22, where the temporary nature of material existence given in 8.17, 18, 19 is contrasted by talking about the eternal nature. Parastasmat bhavonyo vyakto vyakta acanatana yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu navinashyati. That there is a, beyond the manifest and unmanifest material, there is the spiritual, which is indestructible, which is never destroyed when everything in this world is destroyed. And then in the 9th chapter, in the 8th chapter, the mood is that, okay, there is temporary and there is eternal, and one should redirect oneself from the temporary towards the eternal. In the 9th chapter, Krishna says that this manifestation and unmanifestation, this creation and destruction, the temporary, it is not that that Krishna is simply beyond this. Krishna is definitely beyond it, but Krishna is also supervising it. सर्वभूतानि कौन्तेय प्रकृतिं यान्ति मामिकां कल्पक्षे पुनस्तानि कल्पादौ विसृजाम्यहम्. सो कृष्ण मयाध्यक्षेण प्रकृति दैट्स इवन मोर फेमस वन दैट इज 9.7 सर्वभूत कौन्तेय एंड दिस मयाध्यक्ष प्रकृति 9.10. सो हियर कृष्ण टेल्स हाउ ही इज beyond the temporary, he is existing at the eternal level of reality. And it is in that eternal level of reality that there is Krishna, who is not just beyond the ephemeral, but he's beckoning us beyond the ephemeral. From that eternal realm, he supervises the ephemeral and he beckons us beyond the ephemeral to the eternal. So this is with respect to the nature of existence of things, material nature. And Krishna talks about how even the devatas, they are also temporary. He has talked about this twice in 7th chapter as well as the 9th chapter, 7.20-23, wherein 23 says, Antavat phalam tesham tadbhavat yalpa devan yanti. So in 7.23 he states that the worship of the devatas gives a temporary result, antavat. And a similar analysis of the worship of the devatas comes in 9th chapter from verses 9.20-25, and there Krishna says that 9.22. In 9.20 and 21, he states how even if somebody worships according to the Vedas, Trai Vidyamam Somapaha Puta Papa Yagyai Rishtva Swargatim Prathayante Te Punyamasadhi Surahindra Lokam Ashnanti Divyan Dividev Bhogan Pritam Bhuktva Swargalokam Vishalam Kshine Punne Marthilokam Vishanti Evam Trai Dharma Manu Prapanna Gatagatam Kama Kama Labhante. So even if somebody worships properly and goes to the heavens, still after their punya gets over, they will fall back. So the going to the devatas gives a temporary result. As contrasted that 9.22, it is said that ananyaschintayanto mam yajana paripasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam mahamyaham. Worship of Krishna gives eternal results. And in this way, the contrast is drawn between the worship of Krishna and the worship of the devatas. So, and further in the Chatushloki Gita, Krishna says how those who devote themselves to Him, He personally helps them. Tesham eva anukampartha, 10.11. So thus, Krishna, for a person who has a philosophical vision, the person understands how Krishna is not just the ultimate substantive principle. He is the ultimate substance, he is the thing which will exist forever and ever. And he's also attractive and he wants us to attain him. So all this is beautiful. To understand Krishna's glory, to understand Krishna's eternality, to understand Krishna's loving nature, it evokes attraction towards Him, it evokes affection towards Him. And whereas understanding the material nature of everything can be very sobering, sometimes even depressing, understanding the eternal nature of Krishna's love, eternal and benevolent nature of Krishna, that actually brings hope, brings purpose, and brings ultimately joy in our life. So this beauty and mercy of Krishna is conveyed through the address Vatta Kamala Patraksha. O Lotus Eyed Lord, your Mahatmya. O Vyaya. Wow, the special aspect of the Mahatmya, there is much Mahatmya of Krishna. O Vyaya, your imperishable glories. You are imperishable, your glories are imperishable, your love is imperishable, O Lord. And my illusion has been dispelled. I simply want to devote myself to you. So to the extent our heart is redirected from the temporary towards the eternal to that extent. As is pointed out in this verse, when we say we understand the temporary nature of things and we understand the inexhaustible glories of the Lord, then we will also come to the stage that is mentioned in the previous verse, Mohoyam Vigato Mama. My moha, my illusion has gone, O Lord. Thank you.